Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we're recapping an underage winner on the PGA Tour. That's right, a first-timer in Joaquin Niemann, plus a crazy Solheim Cup, notes from the Democratic debate last week, and a very fruitful week three in college football for myself, plus NFL headlines. And this week's featured guest is Felicity Sheba, a women's golf blogger, traveler who's pretty much gone all around the world, and she has some very cool stories to tell us as well. But first, we're just here to let you know that when you're out golfing, when your phone rests for 5 hours out there, where it sits in the golf cart, it's a big issue in 2019. The cup holder, it belongs to beers and waters. The front compartments are for lots of other stuff. So that was pretty much an unsolved mystery for where it was going to go until Desert Fox Golf came along with the phone caddy. It's the go-to phone holder for golf carts, and it's designed to keep your phone safe and at your fingertips. Sliding wings and face plates adjust to fit almost every iPhone and Android model. It Velcros right on in seconds. Keep your yardage and scoring apps open where and when you need them to be seen. Play music with ease. Watch the game on your phone. Answer texts and calls with ease, all while you hit the golf course. This is the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the golf course at all times. So get your phone caddy today at desertfoxgolf.com. That's desertfoxgolf.com. Make sure to follow them on social media for the latest promotions and golf efficiently with the Desert Fox phone caddy. Again, that's desertfoxgolf.com. Plus, if you're needing training aids, then golftrainingaids.com is the place for you. And we're here to get you a discount site-wide on everything you need to help your game. It's the world's largest selection of golf teaching and training aids at really affordable prices. Just checked it out last week. There's some great deals on there. They've been serving the industry for more than 35 years, and they are your one-stop shop for everything to improve your golf game. All you need to do is follow us. You can check out the link we sent on our Facebook page at Course of Life Podcast. Follow us on Twitter for our posts about golf training aids, and our discount code is COL10 for 10% off of your purchase. Again, follow Course of Life on Facebook or Twitter to grab that link and get yourself a deal that will help lower your scores today.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to another edition of Course of Life presented by Izzo Golf and our friends over at Desert Fox Golf. This is the podcast where we talk about everything happening on the PGA Tour, plus other things that interest us from the worlds of sports and pop culture. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and Alex, golf is back. We had our first full weekend of an event. It was the Greenbrier, and there was a lot of drama that happened over the course of the weekend, and starting, of course, with a 20-year-old from Chile.
Yeah, from
Joaquin
Chile.
Joaquin Niemann. Yeah. Joaquin
the first
Niemann
Chilean
by six.
The first Chilean to win on the PGA Tour ever. An interesting little stat when you fill a new country on the world stage of golf, notching that win on the PGA Tour. Like I mentioned at the top, 20 years old, underaged, couldn't even celebrate with the champagne or the beer on the 18th green. I'm sure he did eventually, maybe when he got on his private plane for the ride home. But a very impressive win nonetheless, won by 6 shot, Mike. And this is a guy, and I know you kind of casually follow my picks on a week-to-week basis. I've been betting Joaquin Niemann at like crazy odds to win his first tournament earlier this year. He was at like 100, 151 odds to typically win each week. He garnered a lot more attention in the last few months, and now he's going to be looking at possibly maybe even a captain's pick for the President's Cup to play for the international team in November. So that's something to look out for too. But yeah, very impressive win going away, finished with, I believe, a birdie, a great putt on the 72nd hole to seal it, and a 6-shot win for another young stud on the PGA Tour.
Pretty impressive. Our boy Nate Lashley had a pretty good run, tied for third.
Shot him a quick text after Sunday. Told him congrats on a great week. That was his best finish since the win. So that was good to see him back on the leaderboard. He's our guy, of course.
Good way to start the season. If you haven't heard your Alex's chat with Nate Lashley, go back into our archives. It's a great conversation we had them following his win. Another interesting thing that happened on Friday. We had a 59 posted in the first weekend on the tour. 9 straight birdies, no bogeys for Kevin Chappell. That was pretty impressive 18 holes of golf for him.
Yeah, 59 just seems like kind of super normal now these days.
So, yeah. This is a par 70 course. So
right, yeah, good.
Impressive thing out of this was that he did 9 straight birdies.
That is insane. I think that ties the record. I don't think 10 has been done. Yeah, so, and again, here's the other really cool part about Kevin Chappell. He had a back injury for like close to the last year. Hadn't played like in a long time. This is his first start back on the PGA Tour. What a way to come back. Didn't win the tournament, obviously, but that's an amazing way to come back off of a rehab injury as serious as a back injury. So really, really impressive comeback right out of the gate from Chappell.
Yeah, he did the normal thing. You shoot a really low score and then you don't shoot low for the rest of the weekend.
Yes. Yeah. I'm hoping that happens to me today when I'm out on the golf course. I would take just one like great round just like to head into football season with some momentum, you know. But yeah, he's feeling those vibes for sure. So the 59 for Kevin Chappell, again, like I said, it's coming a little bit more normal. I think it's like 11 or 12 now on the PGA Tour. That number seems more and more attainable by the year as guys are pounding it further, bomb and gouge, you know, the hole's getting bigger. The courses are seemingly getting shorter with technology, and we're going to be seeing 59s probably with a lot more regularity here in the years to come.
Yeah, it's we'll see how many we get this season. We had a lot of big names in the field this week. John Daly, Zach Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, they all missed the cut.
Yeah.
They all missed the cut.
They did. I'm not going to lie. It was a fairly dry leaderboard, except for the fact that Neiman was thriving as a 20-year-old. That was the storyline of the weekend. Obviously, with football season, it's tough to captivate a lot of headlines when you don't have a top-tier field, but Neiman being the headliner as the 20-year-old notching his win and maintaining status for the next 3 years was the highlight. A couple rookies that I can touch on. We mentioned them too. Victor Hovland and Scottie Scheffler, both of them. We're kind of watching these guys as our young guys who are next up, and Hovland, again, another solid finish, another great Sunday. He just slid inside the top 10. And Scottie Scheffler, the UT guy from here in Austin, played briefly at the University of Texas, hopped right out on a tour. He got a top 10 finish as well. So, again, all these guys just coming to the forefront. You know, when we talk week in, week out, Mike, about how Tiger and Phil and the guys that you and I grew up with, they're going to get pushed out. And we're seeing why, because of just how deep these fields are. And those are another couple names that you need to follow that are young and hot on the world stage of golf.
This next weekend, the men go to the Sanderson Farms Championship down in Mississippi.
Yes. No Nate Lashley, by the way. So when I texted him, playing next week, he said, no, taking a week off. I said, enjoy it. He said, thank you very much. I'm sure he'll be enjoying that check from last Sunday, take a week off with the family, and he'll get to tee it up, I believe, next week. I think he's planning on doing it out the Safeway Open out in Napa Valley there. So that's usually a pretty good field. A little bit of a down week for Sanderson Farms. Not super notable field, but we'll be watching to see if there's another weekend headline like Neiman or maybe another young stud. Watch out for these young guys. You just never know who's going to pop up this time of year on the leaderboards for the PGA Tour. So again, you know, we're big football guys, but keep kind of one eye peeled on the leaderboard this weekend. See if anything crazy goes down in Mississippi.
Exactly. This past weekend, we also had crazy drama at the Solheim Cup. That's the women's version of the Ryder Cup. And it really culminated because the U.S. had a chance to retain the cup on the very last hole, missing a 10-foot putt. And then Suzanne Peterson, a mainstay of the European team, drained a 7-footer to win the cup and then said goodbye. She retired right there.
What a mic drop by Suzanne Peterson right there. You know, she's had a lot of success in Solheim Cup, so I kind of get it. Her game had been on the decline. I know she's in the process of either starting or has started a family. Well, so priorities have changed for her in the last couple of years.
She just came back from maternity leave. She'd only played like 3 events this year. So, but she's one of those players that I'm trying to think of a male comparison. I don't know if I'd compare it to Tiger Woods in the sense of someone you just want in the field, but one of those guys, one of those people you just want on your team.
Yeah, for sure.
Because in the big spot, they're going to step up.
And she showed that. Again, she literally had a 7-foot putt to win the Solheim Cup. Everything on the line. Absolutely drained it. Electric celebration. Obviously was rooting for Team USA, but Team Europe with a very valiant effort in Sunday singles. That was some great drama. If you want 5 or 10 minutes of great highlights, you know, head on over to Golf Channel or wherever you find your sports highlights and check out the highlights of Sunday singles, the Solheim Cup. That kind of team golf, Mike, I want more of that. I want more of that during the course of the year, because that truly showcases how electric and competitive the game can be. You know, I've said it again. Here's one thing about Suzanne Pettersen. I bet you we see her back at the 2020 Olympics. They talk a lot about like the Olympic format, and I would love to see if the Olympics can long-term institute some sort of team competition in addition to just the normal, ordinary 72-hole stroke play tournament. Yeah.
You know, I was surprised they didn't do something more team oriented, especially because you have an opportunity to do something like a Ryder and a Solheim Cup in
mixed.
The middle of the summer.
You could do instead mixed of men and women playing together.
Oh, man, that would actually be fantastic.
Yeah.
And to do that in the middle of the summer, as opposed to in the fall, which is when we usually see these team events, it would just add something great in the middle of the year when there's really nothing going on in the summer other than, you know, baseball.
Exactly. Yeah. No, good point. So we'll be watching out for future Solheim Cups, of course. We're always a fan of the lady golfers, and we profile a ton of them here on our podcast. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice. Subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. We've had some fantastic interviews with players who are working their way up to the LPGA, including quick shout out to Alejandra Yaneza, too, who our guest who we had on about a month or two ago. She won on the Symetra Tour last week. Forgot to mention that. So she is like in the driver's seat and gearing towards Q School and trying to get that LPGA tour card next season. So best of luck to her as well.
There were 10 people on stage this past week trying to get their way into the White House.
Yes, we're finally narrowing things down for you, Mike. Finally.
What's the Democratic debate? Only 10 people, only one night. I still didn't watch it because it's still way too early and I don't care right now. But, you know, it is just going to be interesting to see what continues to happen. This was, you know, I think the biggest news that came out of this is that ABC told everyone, please don't swear.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, no cursing. I mean, I feel like maybe if anyone, Andrew Yang might let a curse fly just because he's
no,
loose
Beto,
with the language.
Beto's the one who's going to swear.
But yeah, Beto's he's a little bit of a slippery tongue as well, too. So I get that. That's a good little warning from ABC. My highlight, though, Mike, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw Julian Castro trying to crush Biden with the line of the night. I am fulfilling Barack Obama's legacy, and you are not. Directly to Vice President, former President Biden's face. That was the kill shot. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out in the polls. Things haven't been great for Castro, but it was interesting to see him try to get that line in. Again, it's one of those things where in golf tournament terms, I'd say Biden's a few shots up right now. But you know, everyone's trying to poke holes at his lead right now. So debate by debate, his lead is slowly shrinking so that the competition is getting a little bit more fierce.
Yeah, let's see what happens as we continue on over the next couple months. I don't really start to think about it and pay attention until probably November. That's when we're really going to start getting interesting. That's when we're only 2 months out from that. That's
That'll be the next, I think,
and
next
so
debate and primaries late fall months. Our guy Andrew Yang, quick note on him, I don't know, his time may seem to be running out. He's trying to get a little bit more of the spotlight. He had a couple of great quotes on Twitter. His Twitter is a must follow right now. If you're following any candidate, no matter what your views are, you want to follow Andrew Yang, because he was quoted as saying, I'll let you talk about the second one too, where he talked about football fans and the debate being last Thursday night during an NFL game. But just remember, Mike, it's all fun and games until Andrew Yang passes you in the polls. A great little subtweet from Yang last week that he sent out to his fellow competitors. He's got some strong takes on social media for sure.
Yeah. He says the football fans vote too. That's true. But then, you know, he said that, but he said that after he said let the Patriots suck.
Yes. So, I don't know. It's a tough move. Very polarizing.
He's risking New Hampshire by saying something like that. And if you don't win New Hampshire, it doesn't matter what happens.
I can't wait for him to put on a giant like Iowa Hawkeyes hat. That's going to be his next move, right? Yeah. You have to pander to the Iowa caucus crowd. That's the only move.
That's what you got to do. That's true. Something else interesting that came out this past week in terms of pop politics, we found out that Vice President Mike Pence said that when he was visiting Kentucky in March of 2018,
yes, Churchill Downs, yeah.
He was bit by Triple Crown winner American Pharoah.
Wow. But did he say where or the width of his injuries, or how is he doing, you know, most importantly?
Well, this was a year ago. Mm-hmm.
Did he need like a tranquilizer shot or something? I imagine he probably did.
he supposedly was bit so hard he nearly collapsed in the arm. He was bit in the arm. He nearly collapsed. Wow. He was bit so hard. The odd thing here is that the trainer said, like, I would have noticed this happening. I don't really remember this.
Yeah, this conveniently. Happen. Conveniently doesn't remember this. Yeah.
So Pence supposedly brought this up when talking to a bunch of people in GOP, kind of saying that sometimes you get bit and you have to keep fighting. That's great, Mike, but don't be a liar.
Well, it's clear where American Pharoah's political affiliation stand. He is leaning very far left, just like he leans very far left around the racetrack. You get that there? Ooh. It's all left turns in horse racing. That was a little insider joke there for the horse racing fans. So yeah, American Pharoah with the vicious bite on Pence and just making news now. Love that random headline, Mike. Good stuff.
It is pretty random. Let's move on to this week's featured guest.
Yes, let's do it.
South African golf blogger Felicity Sheba, and she's a self-proclaimed time traveler.
Yeah, we'll hear all about that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But first, the Course of Life is brought to you, as always, by Izzo Golf. And coming soon, it's the Izzo Golf Swami 6000. This is the GPS unit you've been waiting for. With more advanced features, accuracy, and versatility, this golf GPS is something you must get your hands on. With magnetic backing, the Swami 6000 easily attaches to your golf cart during your round. Get accurate distances to the front, center, and back of green on the large 2-inch color display. Plus, get accurate distances to hazards and dog legs, as well as auto course and hole recognition. This unit is preloaded with over 38,000 golf courses worldwide with no subscription or download fees. Plus, it has a digital scorecard holder to track score, green regulations, and putt per round. It's the technology that will change your game. Plus, right now, listeners to this podcast can save an additional 25% off their order with the promo code PODCAST. Go get your personalized bag and hit the course in style. Again, that's promo code PODCAST at www.izzo.com. Izzo Golf, innovation and features designed for golfers by golfers.
Next up on the tee, we're going internationally to Johannesburg, South Africa. She's a quote-unquote time traveler, so I can't wait to hear about that. Plus, also the creator of This Girl's Golf Diary, documenting her work in growing the game, traveling around, playing the game, her lifestyle, and a whole lot more. Felicity Sheba joins the Course of Life. Felicity, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Alex. This is really nice. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So first of all, I want to get to it. In your Instagram bio, you're a self-proclaimed time traveler. You got to tell us, how do you time travel? How does that work? I'd love to know because I want more hours in the day.
Well, unfortunately, my time traveling is a bit primitive. It's still by plane, but that's really what I do. Just love traveling. And anytime I'm in a different country, a different place, I call it my little piece of time traveling.
Very cool. So we're a primarily American audience, but there are some listeners that we know of in continents around the world. So tell us a little bit, just give us a little quick background on just South Africa in general and golf in South Africa for people who aren't familiar with it.
I think a lot of golfers will know that South Africa has got world-class golfers. There's a few of them, and a few of the international people are fans of our golfers. And golf is big. It's big in Africa. It's big, especially in South Africa. And we have over 100 courses.
Yeah, there definitely is. And there's multiple professional tournaments that I see annually, you know, on the Golf Channel televised, on the European Tour, you know, there's the Sunshine Tour and lots of things like that in that part of the world. And I'm curious, in terms of your background of the game, I read that you didn't start the game very early in life. Tell me what your introduction was to golf and when you first took up the game.
I actually took up golf when I was 30. So that was really, really late. Very late. I've always been interested in it. I was always a big fan. I was always a big fan of Tiger Woods, a big fan of Annika Sorenstam, and a few other golfers, and just mainly South African golfers. So when I turned 30, I moved to Zimbabwe and I had a lot of time in my hands. And that was the time where I thought, you know what, this could be it. This is where I'm going to start. And it turned out to be the perfect place to start.
Very cool. So from that, you know, you started playing the game lots. And at what point were you inspired to start the blog that you now operate, which is, again, This Girl's Golf Diary? I'm curious, you know, at what point you decided you wanted golf to be just more than a hobby and maybe something that you documented on a daily basis?
You know, I've been playing on and off for a while. You know, I stopped to have babies. I stopped to travel. I lived in the U.S. for a bit and I didn't get to play much. And so when I came back home, I started playing again. And one thing I realized is that there were a lot of female golfers, but not enough black female golfers that I had encountered. So I wanted to sort of spread the word with the golf, especially with black female golfers. And I have a lot of fun on the golf course, and people don't actually realize how much fun it is to play, as frustrating as it might be, but it's still a lot of fun. And it has that sort of stigma of it being an uptight sport or an elite sport. So I sort of, you know, wanted to try and alleviate that a bit.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I always try and teach when I'm bringing, you know, non-golfers or people who don't play the game out much to the courses. It's more than just, you know, how fast you're getting the ball in the hole. It's about, you know, those moments when you can hit a great shot or when you can enjoy a beautiful day or enjoy, you know, the nature and the views that present itself on the golf course that you're at, and all about enjoying the venue in the moment for sure. So it's good to see that that's a worldwide thought process in introducing people to the game. And one thing that you've introduced us to is you've had the opportunity to play in some different pro-ams with the world's best golfers. Yeah. You've mentioned it as some of the highlights of your golfing careers, but kind of playing side by side with the world's best. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that experience is like? You know, a lot of golfers, you know, they play a lot and they see a lot of tournaments and pro-ams, but never have the opportunity to play directly next to professionals. So tell us a little bit what those experiences were like.
Yeah, and starting the blog, I mean, I had already started playing a few pro-ams, and I had won one of the pro-ams, the Tawana Open, which is
nice,
which is actually nice, which is tri-sanctioned. Actually, it's European Tour and Sunshine Tour. So, and that was really, really nice to do that, and I had so much fun. And so I thought, you know what, let me start this blog and just educate people who have always been interested in playing and are a little afraid to venture into the game. And what that has led to has a lot of invitations playing pro-ams. And obviously my biggest one is getting an invitation to play at the Gary Player Invitational and also playing with him separately in a different invitational with him and Brandon Grace. And that's a highlight. I mean, that's a super, super highlight. I got to meet my idol, Annika Sorenstam, there. Trevor Immelman was there. It was just... And to get to watch those guys up close and personal, sit down and have a chat with them, is just priceless. It's absolutely priceless. So, and it's intimidating at first, but what I have found, because I've played with a lot of pros, South African pros, international pros, and they are really, really nice. They are a little more, let me say, they're a little more patient with us amateur golfers than we are with ourselves and our friends and our peers, which is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. That's a good observation as well to take away from those pro-am rounds. And you touched on Gary Player. He's a legend. Let's just get to him. I actually do have a quick Gary Player story that you'll appreciate. You know, growing up, I volunteered at a tournament that he was playing in for the PGA Tour Champions near my hometown in Massachusetts. I had the opportunity to walk 18 holes with him, and I watched him shoot a 5-under par 67 round at the age of 68. He quite literally shot lower than his age. And it was a very cool sight to be seen. I'm curious what your interactions were like with Gary Player. He's a very rambunctious, ambitious, high energy guy, even at his age. Talk a little bit about what it's like being around the Black Knight.
He really, really is. And he is just incredibly awesome. So the first time I got to meet him, I got an invitation from SAP. They invited just a few guests. Literally, there must have been about 6 4-balls or 8 4-balls. So it was Gary and Brandon Grace, and we played at Blair Athol, which is one of his signature courses, a beautiful course. I was so nervous. I think I couldn't sleep. the night before. I was so excited. I was nervous. I honestly could not believe that I was going to play with Gary. And he had a little clinic at the driving range. And he met me, and the first thing he says, I was the only woman there. So he was like, I've heard so much about you. And I'm thinking, what?
Wow.
Really?
You were infamous already in his eyes. Yay. Immediately.
Yeah. So luckily I got to play about 6 holes with him. And in that 6 holes, he gave us all the attention. I mean, I had a Gary player masterclass in 6. It was just incredible. His energy is just boundless. He had me swinging my hips, hitting the ball. I mean, I told my friends the next day I played with Gary Player, and I couldn't get up the next day because I felt like I had like gone through a serious workout.
Right. Yeah. Very cool experience. Yeah,
such a cool experience. And a month later, I got invited to the Gary Player Invitational, and I'm thinking, okay, look, he missed so many people. He could possibly remember me. And he remembered. And first thing he said is like, Felicity. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, someone pinch me. Gary Player knows my name. And we just hanging out with him, getting to talk with him. And he's incredible. And then watching him play, that too was incredible. I'm like, how does he do it? He's 83. How is he doing all of this at this time?
Yes, and people need to know that Gary Player is now 83 years young, really, and exactly. Still does what? Somewhere in the neighborhood of hundreds of push-ups and crunches every single day when he wakes up, as soon as he rolls out of bed.
Yeah. I mean, he's just abundant energy, and you get away from it, that experience, feeling like, oh my goodness, what am I doing out there, but yeah, it was an incredible experience.
Very cool. And some of the other South African golfers, you mentioned Brandon Grace as well as another name, Trevor Immelman. Yeah. I wanted to touch on your thoughts on a South African golfer who I think is really, really loved, especially on this side of the pond in America. And that's the Big Easy, Ernie Els. Just always kind of possessed that quiet confidence. I believe 4 or 5-time major championship winner. Yeah. And he's had a Hall of Fame career. Talk about his impact on South African golf. As you knew it growing up and still today.
Ernie is one of the biggest impacts, him and obviously Gary and a few other guys, and it's just he is loved here just as much as he's loved overseas, and what he has done for golf in this country as well is just it's absolutely incredible what he's done for autism all around the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does command a lot of respect. I've been lucky enough to walk with him and watch him play, and I just, I've never really had a conversation with him, but I've attended a few of his autism events, and he's incredible. Like you said, he's the Big Easy. He's easy. He's a big guy, and he's just quiet confidence.
Absolutely. He does. He just kind of oozes that quiet confidence. Yeah. Like I mentioned, it's kind of very cool to sight to see. And he's become a fan favorite over here as well, too, in addition to being the legend he is in South Africa. So let's also touch on the women's golf scene as well, too. There are rising South African players in the ranks, most notably Ashley Buhai is a South African who competed in a major championship recently at the Women's British Open. Talk a little bit about, as it pertains to your blog and kind of what you're trying to do to grow the game for women specifically in South Africa and abroad, what that means to kind of have that growing presence, and kind of what's it going to take on your end to continue to grow, women's golf in South Africa and abroad.
I think it's fantastic what Ashley has done the past few weeks. I was lucky enough to see her last week and just congratulate her. And I've been watching her since she came into the scene, and to see her play at that level at age 30 was also just encouraging for South African women golfers. There's a few of the girls who've made it onto the European tour, the ladies' European tour, got their tour cards, Nobutle Dlamini, Lejeune. So it's really nice to see Stacey Bregman. It's really nice to see these girls playing well at home and also crossing over internationally so that girls can, you know, feel represented as well. I mean, women's golf here is not as big as the men's golf, obviously, regards to sponsorships and just airtime. And so we're trying, I mean, it would be nice for it to be, to get the attention that it deserves. So I try to support them in every way possible that I can, show up at the games. I've played with a few of them and I'm lucky to call a few of them some good friends. So it's really, really nice to see that the girls are actually pushing and making a mark internationally, especially in Europe. I know the people don't see it now, but there's a whole bunch of amateurs, young girls that are coming up, and hopefully in the next 5-10 years, the South African women's golf will have a lot more champions.
Yeah, absolutely. The LPGA and women's golf has stretched, you know, outside of, you know, you used to see the leaderboards on those tournaments filled with players of Asian American descent and American descent. And now that's gone completely worldwide with South Africans, Europeans, and everything else in between across the globe, for sure, in women's golf. It's Felicity Sheba, and it's This Girl's Golf Diary. Let's get into a few more questions before we sign off, a little more rapid fire for you. I want to ask you quickly, we're big foodies and we love to finish the round with a meal and a drink, whether we finish poorly or we finish with a birdie. So I want to ask you, when you finish the golf course and you get off the 18th hole, what's your favorite thing that you like to either have for a meal or a post-round drink to kind of calm the nerves?
Well, for me, it's definitely Steelworks. And I do have a hashtag that says share your Steelworks. I've sort of gone on a quest to find the best Steelworks, which I've posted up on my This Girl's Golf Diary blog. So, and I'm now getting pictures from other people saying, oh, this place has the best and this place has the best, which is sort of becoming a little culture that we're doing. But if it's not a Steelworks, then it's definitely a G&T, depending on how we played. but yeah, my girls and I like to finish up, sit down, have a bunch of food and drinks and just enjoy, you know, the 19th hole.
Is it more so like a burger sandwich for you, or like get a whole bunch of appetizers and share with the group?
You know what? We do like, it depends where we are. It depends where, which golf course we've been playing, because every single golf course we've got favorite foods. Like the River Club has got overall an incredible menu, and they have Serengeti has got beautiful sharing foods like tapas and biltong, and you know, they've introduced sushi. So it depends on the golf course, but a burger is definitely a go-to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. The thought of sushi post golf, that's intriguing, actually. Yeah, I haven't really quite thought of that before. I like that.
I think they were pretty clever when they did that.
Yeah, that is interesting. My next question for you is in terms of animals, wildlife on the golf course. Tell us a little bit about what you're maybe likely to most see on a golf course in South Africa in terms of wildlife, or maybe something strange or unusual you've seen out golfing.
Pythons.
Oh, yes.
No, look.
Hopefully not biting you. But
there's been a few sightings of pythons. Personally, I haven't seen one. But with regards to wildlife, depending on where you're playing, and we have a lot of sort of golf courses that have wildlife. So antelopes, buffalo. It's just, there's a lot of, wildebeest, I said buffalo. So there's a lot of animals, warthogs, a few elephants, giraffes, depending on where you're playing. Hippos, you know, some of them are like, have signs, don't go near the water because there are hippos and crocodiles in there. But I think for me, the most fearful were the spitting cobras when I lived in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Golf course where they had tons of spitting cobras and other snakes. And we would play, we wouldn't go through like 2 weeks without seeing a snake.
Wow. Some, yeah. Those sound like some real snakes. So over here in America, we just have kind of like water snakes that just, you know, wiggle, you know, straight to the ground and never even dare lift up at all. So that sounds very like some real fear there on the golf course for sure.
Yeah, but you know, they do. I saw a pop ad at the one time a couple of months ago, but they do sort of shy away from us. So you kind of, there are courses where you don't venture into the actual rough. If your ball goes in there, it's like, bye bye. Don't even venture there to try and find it. But, most of the time it's just clear fairways.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Watch out for those snakes when you're out in South Africa. Felicity Sheba, again, before we sign off, why don't you let everyone know where they can find more of their your content and how they can get to This Girl's Golf Diary as well?
Okay, this is awesome. On Instagram, it's This Girl's Golf Diary, and I have a WordPress blog and also This Girl's Golf Diary. If you go on WordPress, you'll find it. Or there's links on my Instagram page for that blog. And I write for Tea and Sandwiches, which is it's print over here, but it's online.
That's a great name. Love it. Tea and Sandwiches.
Isn't that great? You should look it up. It's print over here, and you can read it online as well. It's a great little magazine, a newspaper that's been going on for a while. Pretty much that's it. On Twitter, I'm just Felicity Sheba. I post a lot about golf there as well.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, Felicity, I appreciate you taking the time. We'll look to speak with you more down the road and hit them straight and enjoy your time in Johannesburg and abroad, wherever your travels take you.
Thank you so much, Alex. Actually, the last course I played, it was last year in Alabama. I played Inverness in Birmingham. That was great. That was
very cool. Yeah, that's a nice part of the country to golf too, down in the southern part of the United States. For sure. Well, Felicity, thanks again for being part of the Course of Life, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Back. That was a pretty cool chat with a South African. You know, South Africans have some pretty good golfers.
Yeah, how about the rotation of South African golfers that have gone through our life? You kind of don't really take inventory. It's Charles Schwartzel, Louis Oosthuizen, Brandon Grace, Retief Goosen, Ernie Els, the Big Easy, Mike, and then Gary Player, obviously the legend. Yep. So I got to ask you, Mike, we were talking about Gary Player and just how crazy fit he is, and I told my story there about walking 18 holes with him when I was younger. Gary Player, yep. Mike, allegedly, he's like age 82, I think, still does 500 crunches a day, Mike.
Supposedly. I've heard that, yeah.
I've heard that. How long do you think it would take you to do 500 crunches, like right now, if you just dropped everything in your life? I mean, could be days, right?
6 months.
6 months.
6 months.
I'll get back to you after the holidays. Sounds good. Yeah, the guy's fierce. Really cool chat with Felicity. And definitely follow This Girl's Golf Diary. We'll have a lot more posts from them as well, too. Really cool chatting with her. And we'll be sure to catch up with her down the road as she shares more stories with us in the game.
Let's turn our attention to football, which was, we were in week 3 in college this past weekend. Alex, you are owning your picks right now.
I am. This has happened again. It's the second season in a row. I'm off to a hot, hot start. Again, my Twitter is at Course of Life 1, at Course of Life 1. Every Saturday morning, I'm putting out a big card. It's been 12 plays a week. It's been working really well, Mike. 8-3-1 last week, 9-2-1 this past weekend on Twitter. 30 wins, 15 losses overall. Mike, that's great math. That's winning 2 out of 3 of your bets. So if we can do that all year, we're going to have a fun party at the end of the college football season. The most notable one, which you would have appreciated, it was a complete blowout in the University of Texas game, which I was watching late at night, and they needed a touchdown to hit 2 bets of mine, and a meaningless kick was returned back to the house with 40 seconds left. It meant absolutely nothing to everyone who was watching, except for me, capped off a fantastic Saturday. So again, it's at Course of Life 1 if you want to follow my picks on a week-to-week basis. We're making money out here, Mike. It's good times.
It is good times. Let's talk about the NFL. It is good times for the New England Patriots. They don't care what the optics are of having Antonio Brown on their team and playing, because they just walloped the Dolphins 43-0 in what could have been that typical Miami scare for the Patriots, where they go down south to Florida and they lose. And you would think with Antonio Brown out there, it could happen, where just something crazy happened. It didn't.
No, I remember.
Patriots continue to extend their middle finger to the rest of the league.
Pretty much. Remember the last game I went to in Miami last December?
Yeah.
Remember the Hail Mary finish, the Miami Miracle? I was there for that one. I was hoping for some better revenge. I did not go last Sunday. I probably should have switched my plans and gone to this one instead of last year's. That was an absolute rout. I was watching at a Patriots bar with some friends of mine, Anthony, who we had on a couple weeks ago, and we were just kind of waiting for the weird stuff to happen, because Patriots games in Miami always go strange. They're always sketchy. I was wondering if they were really going to cover an 18-point spread as big favorites on the road, and they did. Antonio Brown showed up in the first drive, didn't have a phenomenal game, but they got it to him early and started feeding him, got him in the rhythm of the offense. The train rolls on to the Patriots.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, of course, had that one great catch in the corner of the end zone where he had turned all the way around. Make that. It was, you know, he just showed why he is such a good receiver. And let's turn our attention, though, to my Giants.
Not great.
I think the Eli time is over. I think it's time to pass the ball on to the rookie from Duke, and to continue.
Are
to
you ready?
Anyway,
are you ready? Are you ready to do this now? We're week three now. Are you ready?
I mean, the season's over.
Season's over.
We lost to the freaking Bills, who were 2-0. The Bills are 2-0.
They are.
The Giants are 0-2. It doesn't really matter what's going to happen with the quarterback in front of the Giants, because the defense sucks.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happens here.
You're right. And then on top of it, the offensive lines had trouble, and Saquon Barkley can't do it all on his own. He tried week one. He's trying. I give him the effort. Trying for sure, not for lack of effort on his end. The Eli questions are continuing to roam, though. They are. It's one of those things where Eli, he's doing that mystical thing where he's putting up statistics that are poor if you watch the entire game, but if you just look at paper, you kind of look at his numbers at the end of the game, you say, he's doing okay. You know, just okay enough to be relevant, but not good enough when you actually watch it. And like you said, with the optics with Antonio Brown are very awkward, but he's getting it done on the field. The optics with Eli Manning are he's getting it done on paper, but it does not look good on the field at all from football perspective. So we are looking at Daniel Jones pretty soon if things go astray in week three.
Yeah, the question is whether we'll see Daniel Jones start in week three, or will we see him at halftime in week three, or will we not see him at all in week three? It's all, you know, it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. Looking around the rest of the league, though, some of these other seasoned quarterbacks just got destroyed in terms of their physicality. Drew Brees is going to be out for 6 weeks. Big Ben is out for the rest of the year. What is happening in the NFL?
This is that week on Twitter, Mike, where everyone has the tweet that says, "Oh my God, it's only been 2 weeks, and let me list all the players that are injured." It's like, all right, we get it. I get it. It's the NFL. You know, they get hard for a living by 300-pound men, so it's not crazy. Breeze's was weird. He was throwing a pass. His thumb hit up against Aaron Donald's hand, fractured, out 6 weeks. We'll see him in October or November. Big Ben, though, L for the year, Mike. I know you casually follow the Steelers. This has been rough to watch the last couple of years, him losing Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And now, you know, he's seemingly been walking on one leg for the past few years. Now it's his elbow that's bothering him. With his contract in question, Mason Rudolph now takes over, who they drafted last year. It makes you wonder, was that the last time we saw Ben Roethlisberger in a Steelers uniform? It could have been.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like Big Ben's been dealing with injuries a lot. His team has been gutted. Now he's going to be out for the year. Is it time for him to just walk away and call it a career?
It is. It could be. I mean, when you see what Andrew Luck did, when you see the condition that Cam Newton's in right now, you know, starting the season injured and not being able to play basically at all, you're seeing the attrition of these quarterbacks very fast right now, early in the season. And then you look over in New England and you see Tom Brady just still putting up ridiculous numbers. It's like, wow, he's doing something right. It's just crazy, the attrition. Shout out to Sam Darnold catching mono, by the way. The Jets are a full mess, too. He's kissing too many girls. girls in New York City nightclubs. That's the only answer to that story. So a mess there on the quarterback front for the NFL. And then my last shout out of the week, NFL week two, is the Bears, Mike. They had the double doink last week to end the playoffs. Heartbreaker for my wife and her family season. But they found a kicker. They had a walk-off field goal win with Eddie Pinheiro, a.k.a. Eddie De Niro, a.k.a. Eddie Money, with the 53-yarder in Denver to win it for the Bears. So, hey, maybe they have a kicker for the season that won't double doink it when they need it the most. Shout out to the Bears.
Well, you know, it's still early in the season. We will see what happens.
That's right.
Real quick update in the world of baseball. The Yankees still rule. The Red Sox still suck. We'll talk more next week as we get toward the end of the season. and that really puts a bow on this week's episode.
It is, yeah. So thanks for joining us this week. We've had a lot of great sports-themed interviews in the past several weeks. However, next week, we have an A-plus guest that's outside of the world of sports. I think some people might appreciate this. Not a word about golf. Some people may like that for a little bit of a switch up. Very exciting guest. My one hint is you've seen them on some very cool food shows on television.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a lot about food TV next week. So get hungry, get excited, brew your appetite for next week's edition of The Course of Life. For Michael, I'm Alex. Everyone have a good week.